May I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's hard to believe that we have already come to the third day of this new year, and I'm sure we all are relieved to see the end of 2020, and we certainly hold out an awful lot of hope for 2021. I want to wish you all a very happy and blessed new year. It has, however, been a very long journey through 2020, and there is a long journey ahead of us yet, but there is light at the end of the tunnel. Today, we are commemorating another very long journey. Today, we are celebrating the Epiphany of the Lord as we recall three wise people, three wise men who were guided by the light of a star to seek, to find, to be touched by the true and perfect light of Jesus Christ. Who doesn't love gazing at the stars? On a warm summer night, I cannot think of anyone who has not stopped for a few moments to look up at the amazing panorama in the sky. It can be even better with the winter sky in the country, away from the lights of the city. Unfortunately, due to the overcast skies, few of us got to see the recent coming together of Jupiter and Saturn, the so-called Christmas star, as it is being described. But maybe you have seen the extraordinarily bright moon recently. Experiencing the wonder of the sky and contemplating the stars and the heavens has a marvelous way of drawing us into the mystery of our Creator God. By tradition, these exotic people in today's gospel were astronomers. They linked life events with the traditions of Persia, which measured things in the ever-present night sky. The sky has forever been an extraordinarily powerful force. Whatever we make of this Epiphany story, something got these men up and saddling their camels. Was it Halley's Comet, which appeared in the year 11 BC? Was it the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn, as we have just seen? For them, if for nobody else, this event, this star, had meaning. Whatever it was, and whoever they were, people on a spiritual quest went back to their books, and there they found that it might have been something to do with Israel. In fact, the last time there was such an incredible event in the sky, there was a man in Israel whose name was Isaiah. He was the leading prophet of the time. So they set out to see what was happening in the far-off country by the Mediterranean Sea. It could not have been an easy trip. The Anglican divine Lancelot Andrews preached a sermon for King James I every year from 1605 to 1624 at Christmas time. In one notable sermon, he said, Consider the time of their coming, the season of the year. It was no summer progress, a cold coming they had of it at this time of the year. Just the worst time of the year to make a journey, and especially a long journey. The ways deep, the weather sharp, the days short, the sun farthest off, the very dead of winter. Centuries later, in his epic poem, The Journey of the Magi, T.S. Eliot begins by quoting right from Bishop Andrews' sermon. The point being, I think, that any journey to Christ demands our all and must take us over hills and valleys and sometimes through the dead of winter. Any journey to Christ gets to the very heart of the human condition, changing us, challenging us, transforming us. Let us consider again the journey of these men. As they traveled, they thought and they talked, then visited with people at oasis after oasis along the way. Eventually, somehow, they figured out that there was some newborn king near the fabled city of Jerusalem, so they went to visit him. And when they got to Jerusalem, they had to observe the usual formalities with the current king of the land. His name was Herod. All the formalities and customs would have been observed: drinking some tea, eating some sweet treats, pleasantries exchanged, maybe even a few gifts. But then, the real business of the meeting. Herod was getting on in years. He was neither Jew nor Roman. He did not believe in the gods of either nationality. He had been given the kingdom of Israel by the Romans. It was a gift for his earlier service to the Roman army. But the wise visitors knew something else about this man, and it didn't take the stars to tell them. No king ever bows down to another king. So when Herod asked, "Tell me about this newborn king, so that I may go and worship him," well, I think they were wise enough not to fall into the trap. For some reason, Herod was threatened in a way that made his stomach wrench. And in the gospel story, he eventually issued in a slaughter of the children to protect his crown. Let's not forget, these visitors were wise. In their wisdom, and by the light of that star, they didn't need to look for a crown to show them a king. They must have somehow felt that if the great force behind the universe was active in all of this, then you could never tell by what disguise that force might enter the stage. Their ancient wisdom made them open to the mystery of a God who shows his presence in ways sometimes easy to ignore. They knew, as you and I should know by now, that God often comes onto the stage of our experience by the side door. Sometimes he comes onto the stage almost unnoticed to us, because, of course, we're busy occupying center stage. We don't see him coming. We think he comes in disguise. But of course, epiphany, from the Greek, means a showing forth, a revelation. Epiphany is about God bearing himself, showing himself to the world. We just need to open our eyes, a bit like the Magi, who looked for what others had dismissed as ordinary and of no particular consequence. When they got to the house, they realized by wisdom and by instinct that here was something really, really different. They knelt down in all of their silks and brocades, and they gave precious gifts. Then they vanished without a trace, making sure that they did not return to the other king, whose insecurity and malice they already sensed, and from whom death would not be far away. Very wisely, after doing what they were compelled to do, what they had to do, they went home by another road. We wander and we search. We yearn and we long for what was and what could be. But what do we wanderers make of a world that is so often overpowered by the realities of death and destruction, and blinded to the power of new birth? What do wise men and women look for, journey towards, in a world such as this? Well, perhaps we look around, Perhaps we even scan the skies to look for even one bright star that might lead us on. A single element of hope, a possible breakthrough in a world where death and sadness and pain is very much present and always has been. To journey is to search. To journey is to change. And to journey and to change and to search is to grow. That's what life is about, I suppose, and it's how we embrace that that makes the difference. The wise men finally got to their destination and opened their gifts. Gold, the sign of kingship. Frankincense, the sign of holiness. Myrrh, the ancient funeral spice, denoting the Lord's sacrifice. And we must come to him with our gifts as well, with our gift of gold, the talents we have been given, the gifts God has bestowed upon us, the opportunities that are presented to us, realizing that we have to use these in our own way to help building up the kingdom of God. We must come to him as well with our gift of frankincense, that symbol of the worship of God, which must be fundamental to the life of each and every one of us, day by day, to spend a short time in acts of worship and obedience to the living God. And our gift of myrrh, that is perhaps the offering of our lives entirely to God, prepared and ready to go out into the world as his hands and his feet, and to leave this world when the time comes. Our myrrh is to live in God's world, intent on building up his kingdom, but always remembering that our time is limited and we must live in a state of preparedness, gratitude, and of hope. We celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord, the manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, true God and true man. And we do so by following that star of wonder, that star of light. We journey with those ancient travelers onward through this earthly life. And as we do that, we, like them, dedicate ourselves to the one who is the eternal light, the Word made flesh. At the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem, the place where Jesus was born, there is a star in the floor, apparently, where the birth took place. Jesus is the star. So we give to God and each other the gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, our energy, our talent, our brains, our sensitivity, our loyalty, our hope, the deepest elements of our heart and mind and soul and strength. And we do this, guided by the light of his star, until at length we indeed will see the vision of his heavenly glory. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.